So employee benefits is the name of chapter 5, and here we are going to look at the several different types of benefits that employees are provided with so that they can perform in an effective manner. So let us look at what are the objectives of this particular chapter. So students, by the end of this chapter, you will understand what are supplemented pay benefits. So we will look at what sort of benefits come under this particular heading. We will look also at the healthcare. So what we need to understand is that every employee is basically a human being, and human beings need to stay fit and healthy. The next benefit is that which is the retirement related benefits. So after a certain age, now in India it is 60, after that certain particular age, the employees will not be able to perform in the same manner that they were at a younger age. So after this particular age, the employees tend to retire from the organizations, and they need certain benefits for having worked for such a long duration in the organization. Hence, the employers provide them with benefits which are known as the retirement benefits. We will also look at the employees' service benefits. So what are those particular benefits will also be looked at in detail. And if you remember, in the fourth chapter, we had covered in a brief fashion, the ESOPs, or the employee stock options, which are also given in a certain sector of the industry. Like IT sectors majorly are famous for providing various type of ESOPs to their specific employees. So we will have a discussion of the different type of ESOP benefits that are provided over and above the regular monthly salary. So these are some of the benefits that we shall discuss in detail. Now, as is customary, we are going to look at the introductory part of this chapter first. Now, what are benefits in general? So benefits in general are nothing but the indirect and the non-monetary, or as you can say, the non-cash related compensation forms which are paid to the employees. Now every employee is also looking at some forms of being compensated which are not monetary in nature. For example, a sales professional working towards an annual target is looking forward to a trip for himself to an international conference happening somewhere, either in Bangkok or Singapore or some location which is outside India. There are some people who are, you know, aspiring to have a long service so that they can qualify for a gratuity, and with their share put in, they will also get a substantial amount of provident fund. As mentioned, in the IT sector, they might also aspire for any ESOPs that the company provides to them. The employees basically love benefits, and who does not want to be recognized? So they want appreciation and recognition for the hard work that they put in. Now, in many industries, it is not a standard 8 hours of working. They may work 10, 12 hours. They may also work from home considering the current scenario. And for this particular hard work, they want some recognition to happen from the employer's part. Hence, the need for these benefits. Now, job satisfaction is directly linked. It is directly tied up with the employee satisfaction as well. Correct? Like, if I am happy with the current conditions at my job, I will continue to work at that specific workplace. So my satisfaction is linked to how much of satisfaction do I get from the current job that I am, completing or performing. Now, it may be disastrous or even dangerous for the employers to ignore this type of a satisfaction. And this will ultimately lead to a decrease in the commitment. So as the dissatisfaction grows, it steadily amounts to an employee being dissatisfied initially, and in the later courses, they might also start looking at other alternatives. So your employees are the company's, as we know, most valuable asset. So right from the first industrial revolution, which happened in the 1760s, the industry has come a long way. So during those times, there was no dearth. So there were a lot of farmhands who could be procured or obtained for mechanical labor work in a factory. But as the revolutions progressed, currently we are in the Industrial Revolution 3.0 and progressing rapidly to Industrial Revolution 4.0. So the jobs majorly have become more skilled, and today there is, you may say, an unavailability for certain niche jobs. So therefore, this particular statement proves true that employees are the company's most valuable asset, right? So it's basically a sort of a fine line or a delicate balancing act for the employers. Now the employee's well-being versus the cost control is what needs to be balanced here on the part of the employer. The cost of recruiting and retaining talent, okay, versus the challenges of sustaining business operations in an economic downturn is what is the challenge encountered. So students, as you realize, the economy does not remain the same, you know, over years, decades and centuries. You will have cycles in the economy. So there will be cycles of prosperity followed by cycles where there is a depression or a recession. Yeah, so cycles of upturn followed by cycles of downturn. In fact, in history, we have seen so many instances like the 1920s prosperity experienced in the United States post the World War I. And in 1929, the crash that happened in the stock market. Yeah, so upturn was followed by downturn. In 2008, the subprime lending crisis, the bubble bursting of the property, where there was extremely high and bullish sentiments, an upturn, followed quickly by a downturn. Huh? So in this particular moment, employers have to be alert and they have to balance the payment, okay, of the employees with the cost, cost-centric operations. Now, another kind of a disruption has happened a couple of years ago. So in the year 2020, we were all under this influence of the COVID-19. And what started as an endemic, so it basically started as an endemic, but later on converted to a full-blown global pandemic. And this particular pandemic has overturned the employees' lives, correct? Many people lost their jobs, specifically in India. If you see, the laborers or the blue-collared workers had to migrate to their hometowns and villages from major cities like Bangalore, like Mumbai, like Pune, and various other places. So in this context, the organizations have responded by providing flexible working arrangements, especially those people who are working in the support functions or in IT industry where there is no need to operate a machine. So there is no CNC machine, or they don't need to be at the foundry locations. So such people can work from home, they can work in a hybrid mode as well, which is they can visit the office twice a week, okay, and the rest of the days they can complete their assignments sitting at home and submitting those projects or assignments or attending meetings from home. So here, the organizations, they have to address the caregiving needs and supporting the workers' emotional well-being as well. Now, what does this mean? It basically means that there has been a lot of turmoil in people's lives. Many of the people have lost somebody who was special to them. Many of the people or us, we have been we've got this COVID pandemic or we've got infected, and hence the employers need to be compassionate and empathetic on their part. Now, there has been a recent survey, a worldwide survey, a global survey done by the organization IFEBP. What they have done is they have released employee benefits details in the COVID 19 world, the 1 year update report. And this is what they have found. So these are certain benefit changes that the organizations have made since March of 2022. Yeah. So over here, if you see in this particular exhibit, we can see how the pandemic changed the benefits offering. And we can see that a whopping 59% states that nothing substantially has changed. All right. So there are a few more changes that are aspired, but this indicates that nothing has changed for 59% of the respondents of this particular survey. Now, 20% have responded. Of course, this would also depend upon the industry and the occupation, but 20% of the respondents have indicated that there have been a change towards flexible working hours. That is what is indicated here. Now, there has been 14% who've said that there's been a rise, okay, and it's affected the health and the wellness benefits. So companies have looked at making certain modifications, certain revisions towards healthcare and wellness benefits. The next is the mental health assistance progress. So there's been again a small revision of about 12% in some industries and occupations as per this survey report. Children's or childcare benefits, 9%. Again, other benefits, yeah. So these are they have particularly been the stipend and the other benefits have been cited over here. So if you notice, there have been some marginal changes, if those can be seen in terms of percentage, of how the organizations across the world have sort of replied to the pandemic. How have they basically reacted to those pandemic changes? So while offering the new benefits, it comes with added costs. The upside is increased where the employee well-being, okay, the greater productivity, fewer absenteeism, and lower turnover have happened because of the additional benefits that have been provided. Now, this is according to a globally renowned organization, which is Randstad. Okay, making an investment in health and wellness isn't just the right thing to do. Okay, so we have to move beyond this particular context and offer more avenues to the employees so that they can thrive in the current environment. So this is what is aspired going forward. Yeah, so we are almost on the brink of Industrial Revolution 4.0 or Industry 4.0. As you're aware, recently the World Economic Forum has come and it has now embraced India as a critical partner. Our esteemed Prime Minister has also spoken on this along with the WEF head, and we are looking at making changes to accommodate the 4.0 industry practices into our current working here. So it comes with measurable ROI for businesses. So the post-pandemic changes, the benefits that are cited, they all have certain return on investment for every sector of the business. And the survey that was done, okay, it found out that while many businesses are already making investments, many more have some serious catching up to do. Okay, so many businesses, they need to start envisioning what others have already put into practice. Now, one important aspect, okay, is the supplemented pay benefit. So what this means is that there are certain supporting benefits which accrue to an employee, which are provided to an employee apart from what they are receiving as a regular remuneration through their wages and salary. So the first one, in fact, if you recollect, this has been discussed in the earlier chapter, is nothing but the variable pay. All right. So variable pay is that form of employee compensation which changes as compared to the salary, which is paid in equal proportions throughout the year. Now, as we are aware, in India and many countries across the world, it's a monthly salary, which arrives or is credited in the account on a monthly basis. But the variable pay is something which is different than this monthly salary. Now, such programs are an increasingly popular mode of compensation in today's business world. So there are some occupations in the industry, there are some sectors in the industry which thrive on this notion of variable pay. There are talented employees who aspire to gain much more than what is a monthly salary in the form of compensation. So these proponents, the variable pay proponents, contend that providing tangible rewards for superior performance basically encourage hard work. Yeah. So if, let's say, you have been performing really well for the last 1 year, despite the obstacles and the problems presented by the current pandemic situation, you have excelled and you have really done well with your targets, not just on a monthly basis, but several months in line. Now, just imagine the organization is announcing some tangible benefit, like an incentive pay, which will be coming out in the month of Diwali, that is in October. So wouldn't you be delighted to receive something like a 35 or a 40K bonus, which is over and above the salary, where you can spend that towards probably a vacation or paying for a certification course or buying a new mobile or a laptop. So this will come in very handy without you trying to stretch your budget. So this will be over and above your current salary. So it's a form of encouragement for your hard work and efficiency. It also serves as an effective deterrent to mediocre or otherwise uninspired work performance. So let's consider, two employees in an IT firm, Mr. A and Mr. B. Now, Mr. A is working very diligently, has an aspiration to earn the variable pay. And Mr. B, upon coming to know that there is going to be a variable pay, which will be paid in the form of a bonus, has still about 2 months to catch up. All right. So they can, move away from their mediocre way and provide excellent performance. So again, it's a deterrent, or it could stop mediocre performance from happening for Mr. B. Variable pay programs are basically made up of a variety of different compensation methods. So there is not one standard approach that is applicable to such a particular mode of payment to the employees. In the broadest sense, now let us try and understand what some of those different methods may be. So in the broadest sense, variable pay methods or programs include annual incentives or bonus payments, correct? So annual meaning once a year, they will receive a sort of an incentive or a payment in the form of a bonus. It can also be individual incentive plans, like somebody who's performed really well and has, stood out from the rest. They can also be in the form of a lump sum payments. So if the organization makes a profit, people may be, the performers especially, they may be eligible for a lump sum payment. Technical achievement awards. So a team might receive an award in the form of achieving something or creating a groundbreaking innovation for which they get a tangible award or a variable pay. Cash profit sharing plans, which I had already discussed here. So probably, the employers might think of sharing some profits in the form of cash as, let's say, a Diwali bonus, also known as a 13th month, salary for many people in India. Small group incentives. So if a specific department or a small team in that department has worked well, they might be eligible for small group incentives as well. Again, gain sharing. So a part of the profits or the gains may be shared with eligible employees, and payments for newly acquired skill and knowledge. So for example, somebody clears an IIM, a hybrid program. Okay, they clear a Wellinkers, program, and this is observed by the organization. They can go ahead and, provide a sort of a bonus or a sort of an incentive for such incumbents or such employees. So let's now understand the advantages and the drawbacks that are related to the variable pay, which comes under the supplemented pay benefits. So it has been found that organizations that would like to achieve high revenue growth have successful programs because they provide the appropriate amount of administrative, communication, and monetary support. So these are the organizations where the employees tend to be motivated, they have a very high morale, and they are going to support and are aligned to the objectives of the organization. They perform well, they are customer-centric in nature, and the organizations therefore see a progression in their operations and functioning. Another important aspect of which comes about as an advantage is the factor of motivation. So variable pay plans can basically motivate employees, which is one of the pros of this type of incentive. So from a long period of time now, the good organizations have realized that if the workforce remains motivated, they possess a high morale, then they will work better and perform better. High performance ratings are therefore a form of a boost for employees, but the challenge is to sustain employees' job performance levels beyond the season when employees disburse performance pay. So it's very important to look at this particular aspect as well. Now, along with the advantages, there are certain drawbacks which are also essential for us to understand. So most criticisms of variable pay can be traced to the concerns about the nature, the implementation, and execution of such programs rather than theories upon which they are based. So theoretically, everything might seem very rosy, very pleasant, but when it comes to bringing forward such programs and implementing them rigorously, that is where organizations need to focus upon. So if organizations demonstrate reluctance in implementing such programs and executing them, then it may be a matter of concern for the employees. So a program should not just exist on paper, it should also be functional, on the ground. In practice, many companies fail to make such programs meaningful to individual employees. So the entire essence of such a program being institutionalized in organizations, it fails, which in turn robs the program of much of its power to facilitate increased productivity. So, productivity or performance increment may not happen up to the desired levels if these programs are not meaningfully implemented across organizations. Another drawback would be called or termed as a recency error. Now, this is an effect, or it is primarily a psychological effect. Yeah. So here what happens is a recency error has an influence on the employee performance and the variable pay. So if the employee has been performing truly well for the last, let's say, 8 months, from let's say the last October to maybe this June, and unfortunately the most recent months, those are the months of June, July and August, that's 3 months from the current date, the employee has shown mediocre performance. So in this particular case, his good performance from the last October till the end of May, before June begins of 2022, is wiped out because of mediocre performance or average performance in the last or the most recent 3 months. Now, this plays on the minds of the people who are evaluating such employees, and it refers to supervisors who base performance ratings on an employee's most recent job performance instead of job performance for the entire evaluation period. So if the evaluation period happens between, let's say, a March to March, and the last 3 months have been subjected to a mediocre performance, then the employee tends to lose heavily because of the recency error. So the supervisors, the managers, the evaluators of performance, of appraising the performance, should be aware that the entire period has to be evaluated rather than the most recent months. So this comes about as a major drawback for this particular scheme. So mediocre job performance for the majority of the evaluation period and excellent job performance closer to the performance appraisal can have the other effect. It can have a different effect from, or opposite effect from, what was discussed previously. So in this particular case, it can result in a higher and sometimes undeserved payout in a variable pay system. So employees might, you know, they might use a sly mechanism where they know that the variable pay period will be judged from, let's say, January to March, and post March a variable pay will be released. So they would not work a lot till the month of January, and in January they will start working and peaking their performance. So the last 9 months has gone on a mediocre basis, and the recent, most recent 3 months, that's January, February and March, have been a surge. Now this surge plays a psychological part on the supervisor's mind, and they see that, oh, the employee has performed so well and let me give them. So people who perform uniformly across the year, those 12 months, may not be subjected or provided such variable pays as will be those people who surge their performance phenomenally in the last two or the last 3 months of the year or the period of evaluation. So supervisors here have to be careful that they should not fall prey to the recency errors in either cases. Correct? So this is what needs to be thought of as a part of, you know, it can come out as a drawback. Now, establishing a variable pay system is what is the need of the time for almost every industry as we are approaching, you know, Industry 4.0 in the various segments. So proponents of variable pay programs contend that the implementation of such a system is far more likely to be successful if the following conditions are met. So the first one is, employees must have control over their performance. So if the employees are overtly dependent on actions and outputs of other employees or processes, they may have little control. So if there are too many interdependencies, upon other people in the value chain, then the employee may not be able to show a performance which may be termed as substantial, and hence they may not qualify or become eligible to receiving a variable pay. So this factor has to be kept in mind, and certain systems and structures need to be developed around this particular aspect so that each employee may have a direct control over their performance. Another condition that needs to be met here is that the differences in performance must mean something substantial to the business. So if an employee is influencing the culture, and because of the change in the culture, there is a rise in the performance, there is also an enhancement in the morale of the employees, then that may be termed as a substantial difference. A person might proactively train the juniors to skill quickly for the needs of the business, can also be termed as a difference. So these are some important examples that can be considered what of, you know, providing a difference to the business. So employees must see that mediocre and high quality performances are not rewarded equally, and that the results count. So it should be that the employees, they value this increment, and it's not given to every employee in a department or a team. Then this particular sort of a variable pay or a bonus will tend to lose its charm over the long term. So every person who performs very well will be dissatisfied looking at a mediocre performance and saying, okay, I received the same 20,000 as a bonus as did a mediocre performer. And I well and truly know that this mediocre performer has not done much, correct? So the next time, what is the use of performing this well? What is the use of being so diligent when I know that my colleague is doing a mediocre job and still receives the same bonus? So there should be some amount of differentiation between the two performances. And proponents of, you know, variable pay programs, they contend. So we are looking at the third condition here. So this particular aspect is related to employers, okay, and they should use variable pay as a tool in reaching ambitious business goals. Now, as you know, the employees, that is the laborers, okay, the operators, their supervisors are the ones who are in charge of, meeting a market demand. There would be people from sales, people from analytics who would bring in orders and get them executed. So if there is a robustness, if there's a sense of urgency, if there's a sense that, yes, let's prosper together, then variable pay can, you know, it can play a very important role in the organization reaching an ambitious goal. The target should be set high so that extra efforts are needed to reach them. So it should not be, you know, something which is deemed as impossible, or it should not be something which is seemingly simple. So it should be like a Goldilocks zone. Now, as we are aware, a Goldilocks zone is a target or an action which is seemingly difficult but is not termed as something which is very difficult or impossible, and neither is it too easy or simple to achieve. So the employers should aspire to use this as a critical tool in their toolkit. Now we look at the next type of supplemented pay benefit, and this is the bonus. So students, we have spent a lot of time Okay, we have invested time in understanding the concept of a variable pay. Now let's look at a bonus. Okay, so bonuses are one way of the employers rewarding their employees for a job done well. If you remember, I spoke about a bonus known as a Diwali bonus, which will be covered later. So bonuses are usually determined as a percentage of the annual salary. Correct. Now, bonuses usually are given to all types of employees. Like if we have a maid at our house, she is also, eligible for a bonus. If you have a driver who drives you around, they are also eligible for a bonus. Correct. So bonuses are usually determined as a percentage of the annual salary, though giving all employees, the same monetary bonus is also an option. So if an entire department has worked diligently, they have toiled and they have ensured that the performance of the organization is up to a certain standard, they may all be eligible for a bonus. So apart from a variable pay where they specifically look at the performance which determines that pay, bonus may be more broad-based and it may be given to a broader set of people because of course they toil, they toil in all the months, they put in their sweat, so why not they receive a bonus? So this is a sort of a motivation which is provided on an annual basis maybe, or a biannual or a quarterly depending upon the occupation and industry, where people look forward to such perks or bonuses. Thank you.